from BreakpointTrades.com, and this is the weekend newsletter part 2 for June 19th, 2009. If you're not aware, we did send out a earlier edition to the weekend newsletter. In essence, we're having two parts. The first part covered the longer term weekly charts. And especially for you new members, we strongly advise you listening to that. It's shorter, and it I think it's less than 20 minutes, so it shouldn't take you too long to listen to that. This newsletter, part two, will cover the daily and intraday charts of some of the major indexes. We will also look at some of the sector charts, and then Matt will also cover the commodity area on this particular newsletter, part two. So part two, again, in summary, we'll deal with the indexes on the daily time frame, some of the sectors, and the commodity section. That's how we've divided it up this weekend. So the one thing I do want to point out is, while we talk about the weekly charts looking fairly constructive, we must advise swing traders, and I get this question all the time, when would it be appropriate to enter this market if you have yet to do so? Well, since the market has moved dramatically, we're getting overbought readings up around resistance. At this time, it is not advisable for swing traders to chase the market. Can you scalp the market? Yes. On a wave four, if we get a wave four pullback that is orderly and doesn't take us down too far, then we can look for a fifth wave move higher. A maybe shorter term type swing trader could play that. But for other swing traders, you should wait for the five wave completion and then the following retracement. And that retracement should retrace 1/3 to 2/3 of the move up, assuming that this is the start of the next leg up. Right now, all the indicators are supporting that, but should we reverse down and take out and retrace fully this advance, our indicators all move to sell signals, we'll adjust. But again, let's make this perfectly clear. Should we get an orderly pullback, and it will take probably several days, it'll probably unfold as an A down, B up, C down. So don't get all hunky-dory on the first leg down, because it'll probably have a B wave up followed by another leg down. It may form a flat or a triangle. We'll do our best to keep you appraised of when it looks like an appropriate entry for you swing traders. If this is the start of major wave C up, your objective entry for a swing trader would be on the conclusion of this orderly pullback with what we would call, say, a smaller B wave after the big A wave up, or after the initial leg up one, this second wave pullback. So again, we will do our best to keep you appraised and look for an entry on an orderly pullback. But again, if the market wants to impulse lower, which we view as a less likely scenario, then there will be no objective swing entry on the long side. So hopefully that's cleared things up, and we'll do our best intra-week to keep you posted. Now, let's move into the charts and do our best to get through this fairly quickly. The initial chart that I'm showing is a snapshot of all the major indexes. You can see how it found support at the lower Bollinger Band. I talked midweek last week about, I remember this on Tuesday, we had come up to the 20-day moving average, which is the dashed middle of the Bollinger Band. And I said at that time, if the market got support of its 20-day moving average, it would likely move up on these indexes to at least test their upper Bollinger Band. That's exactly what happened. We gapped up on Wednesday, held above the 20-day moving average, and never looked back. So this simple chart and what I said on Wednesday night also helped any of you people who had taken a short position as a last gasp to get out before further advance. Okay? Yeah, the market can still turn down, but why go through all of that pain when you could have reshorted higher if that's your strategy? So, simply put, we had an impulsive move up last week. There is no denying that. So, at this stage, we're now up against the upper Bollinger Band resistance area, as well as some other resistance areas on our daily charts, our intraday charts. We're extended, so I will summarize it like this in terms of our wave count. It's unclear at this time whether or not we have moved up, completed five entire waves up. I lean to the fact that we've completed three waves up and we are in the process of doing a fourth wave correction or there shortly. However, if that fourth wave, if we get a pullback and that fourth wave goes too far, then we will assume that five waves is in and we are starting at a minimum our corrective process of last week's advance. Should we get a small pullback early this week, okay, I would view that as a wave four with another push up in wave five. And you can really see this in looking at the 60-minute charts, which at this time, especially on the NASDAQ and the NDX, do not sport clear negative divergence and clear five waves up. So sometimes it's very difficult to decipher exactly the intraday wave counts. So we're at a little paradox here between wave three or wave five. EWI, the official wave people, believe that five waves has been put in on the Dow and the S&P, but even on their analysis, they're allowing for a little further upside probing this week. They also cite that the NASDAQ and the NDX hourly could have another leg up, and I agree with that. And they have potential targets around the 1910 to 1930 area on the NASDAQ. So again, if you're looking to play counter trend and short this market, be aware, okay, that we could still get some further follow through. And even if we got a slight pullback, it could turn and move up to complete five waves. So it's always difficult playing counter trend. And if you are going to play counter trend, you must be nimble and you must have proper risk management in place. That's all I'll say. Now, let's move on to these other charts and do our best to get through things. Here on the 60-minute chart, you can see the broken channel. We've impulsed up. Again, I'm not going to reiterate all this 3, 4, 5. I've got detailed annotated comments on many of these charts that I spent a lot of time preparing. So read the comments. They are all valid. Read each and every word so you understand them. I will say this, that the S&P did not make a higher high on Friday while the Dow did. As you know, the NDX and NASDAQ clearly made new highs. They actually took out their recovery highs. But in terms of the very near term, the Dow made a slightly higher high on Friday, whereas the S&P did not. That's an argument that five waves are in. We have a divergence in place. Of course, that can be negated with a little further push up. And that further push up may serve to complete five waves. So read my annotated comments and watch for a couple of the signals that I'm going to cover in the coming charts for an indication of whether or not we're at least getting a pullback. Okay, the next chart is a chart that Andrew's Get system, okay, it's an automated computer system that puts an Elliott wave count on it. And again, we don't want to get bogged down in counts. That's just our roadmap. Use your indicators, your trend line breaks, your moving average crossovers as valid triggers. This is just a roadmap. in order to kind of keep you out of big moves running against you. So this initial chart of Andrews shows, according to the computer, that the advance so far on the S&P is simply a wave 3 with a potentially a wave 4 pullback and a wave 5 move up to come. Now remember, wave 4 could take the form of a triangle and not have much of a give back, or it could take the form of a flat or a zigzag and pull back a little deeper before rallying. One thing I will point out is, on this computer program, should the market pull back to an extent that exceeds certain parameters, they will adjust this count to show five waves completed. Okay? What that level is unclear, but I would say if you get down towards a 38% retracement, that's likely too deep for a wave four. I'll leave you with this. The wave 1 to 2 decline was approximately 15 points. Wave 4 should be something similar in proportion. So if it greatly exceeds that, then it's likely the start of a larger type correction. So doesn't have to be exactly 15 points, but it's a guideline to follow. Again, trying to play counter trend is extremely difficult in such a strong advance. The next chart is just a chart of the get 15 minute. Here it's labeled this as a potential ABC, which would argue for another leg up. And then I have showed for your benefit a potential a pattern that matches what we're seeing in the S&P. Okay? We saw three powerful waves up. We could be consolidating in some type of little ABCDE triangle, and I underline could, okay? And if that's the case, we could thrust up out of here in terms of wave 5. It'll be upon the completion of wave 5, the confirmed completion of wave 5, where an aggressive type short position could be entered, at least for a pullback. I'm not saying for swing traders that are looking to play the primary trend, but if a one-third to two-thirds retracement is something that whets your appetite, then by all means, look to put on a little short. Now, the next chart is my chart of the 15-minute S&P. I put this on the blog over the weekend, I believe on Friday or early Saturday. And one thing I want to point out, and you can use this as a guideline, is the RSI line above. If you look at the 50 RSI line on the S&P 5-minute, the 50 level, you can see since the small little wave 2 back on the low on July 13th, we have never gone below the 50 level on the 15-minute RSI, telling us that we remained in wave 3 up. Now, a clear breach of this 50 level would suggest that at a minimum we are at least undergoing a wave 4 pullback, okay, and potentially something more. Then, on the other hand, should we push up a little further out of this pattern here, let's watch the downtrending RSI line to see if it serves as resistance. So that, if we fail, that could also mark the completion of this up move. So there are a couple of clues to watch off of the RSI. Again, draw your patterns in place. Utilize your indicators that are appropriate to your time frames, and if you use a moving average cross and it's working for you, stick with it. If you're playing breaks and patterns, stick with it. If you're a swing trader, you want to be convinced that the uptrend has ended, take your time. If it's going to be an ABC to decline, maybe you missed the first leg. You can look to short the retracement of the B before coming down in C. But again, at this time, we would view shorting as counter trend. Only a impulsive reversal to the downside would negate that. and we just have to see how price will unfold. I can't predict the future. Again, keep an eye on the stochastics, not only on the 15-minute chart, the 30-minute chart, the 60-period stochastics, and we're going to go over that in a minute as well. Here it is. The next chart is the 30-minute S&P chart. Here you can clearly see that on the 30-minute time frame, we have remained above the 80 level. Now it's been above for 4.5 days. That's telling us, it's giving us a flashing yellow or flashing red. Be on alert. Normally, the moves in the market do not stay above these elevated levels for, you know, an extended period of time. 4.5, 5 days is getting extended. Can it extend? Sure. It could go out another day or so. This is an unusually strong rally. But a decisive move, a move below that 80 level, would also serve as a valid trigger to either take some profits or look at putting on some type of short trade in accordance with your objectives and risk tolerances. Another potential trigger for all of you shorter-term traders, because this is a 5-minute chart along with a tick chart, would be a trend line break. Okay? Now, be aware that if you get a break in trend line and it doesn't give you a lot of follow through, it comes back up and breaks back above that trend line, well, then you've got to get out. But if it breaks below it, comes back up and successfully retests it and turns down, well, that's a valid potential sign that the market is turning down. So you can keep an eye on something like this, a tick, a moving average system, to each their own. But what we want to stress here is for swing traders looking to get long this market, you need to wait till our longer term, at least our 60-minute charts, unwind their severe overbought readings. Now, in terms of an alternative count to this entire move up, it is spelled out on the next chart. It is a 60-minute chart of the Dow. This chart suggests that the entire advance off of our lows back on the 8th is simply a B-wave extended flat. So we move down in A off the June 11th highs. Then we had a small ABC that's known as a flat, an expanded flat, okay, B. But at this time, while it's possible, it's not probable. It is an alternative count. Only a decisive, impulsive move accompanied by strong downside internal readings negating this move up would move this count to the primary position. A decisive move below all the Fibonacci areas, breaking back below the downsloping trend line, would be a warning that this may be unfolding. If that's the case, then we're likely to get a deeper downside move. But again, this is an alternative and should be viewed as such until the indicators, price action would serve to confirm it. Now, does that mean, and by the way, in our bullish count, we're looking for a pullback in the coming days. And it could be a sharp pullback in the bullish count as well. But again, until it exceeds some of these lower Fibs trend lines, it is simply that, a pullback. So I have taken time to put annotated comments on these charts. They are detailed, full of instructions, so follow them. Now, the next few charts I'm going to get through quickly. Simply, okay, I've got a Dow 15-minute chart here showing a little rising trend line and just the Fibonacci retracement areas as a guideline. Now let's move on to the Qs. The first chart I'm showing on the Qs is a bigger picture of the Qs daily. And I've shown what appears to be a newly formed rising channel. I could label this as an A, B, C, D with potentially an E move up to complete. And you will see that on the NDX daily below. But you may want to keep this chart handy for you swing traders. A break below this lower trend line, which would break us below all the moving average, would certainly be a warning sign that some downside may be likely to unfold, and it could mark the end of this entire advance. Whereas another push up, okay, to that upper area would be another area to consider possibly shorting. But at this stage, the focus has to be on further advance. So until we get a change in trend, the trend looks to be going up, especially for the NASDAQ and NDX. Now, the next chart is a closer view of the daily Qs. You can see what appears to be a breakout of a triangle, okay? An A, B, C, D, E with E on the bottom, okay? I guess what we'd want to watch is a pullback that successfully retests this upper area and the moving averages. That would be bullish. But you can see now that here on these charts, even on the daily time frame, our stochastics are getting up to elevated levels. That doesn't mean they have to immediately turn down. They could run higher, but the risk reward is greatly diminished here for chasing this market. Let's go on and look at the intraday charts. Here, I just wanted to point this out on the 60-minute chart. We had an island bottom, both on the SPY and the Qs. That's a powerful move, okay? We left all of these people behind, okay? Many of these shorts who shorted down here could have been trapped, island bottom, okay? Breakaway move. Needless to say, those gaps are something to keep an eye on for potential support. On a deeper pullback, maybe they're filled, okay, before the next advance. But you can see on the Qs, we don't have any really pronounced negative divergence in place. However, we bottomed on the Qs without any real positive divergence in place. So anything's possible, be flexible and adjust. Swing traders look to have objective entries with tighter stops. And in order for that, we need a deeper retracement. The 15-minute chart of the Qs just shows Fibonacci retracement areas, something to keep an eye on for those of you. Again, keep an eye on the 60-period stochastics on both the 15 and 30-minute time frames on the Qs. You can see the Qs 15-minute has been above it now for 5 days. Okay, very, very strong move. In fact, the NASDAQ has moved up 8 consecutive days, a very, very rare item. All right, and here's the NDX daily with a potential count on it, and I show that on the weekly chart as well, an A, B, C, D, E. This looks like it could be an ending diagonal rising wedge. Perhaps, perhaps not. We'll see how far this advance takes us, but I would look for resistance should this rally continue over time up around that upper band. And then the NASDAQ, I have drawn a little differently here as an ABC. What I wanted to highlight here on the NASDAQ is the open gap that remains back from last October, and that comes in around the 1947 area would fill the gap, something to keep an eye on. That's all I have to say. I know it can get sometimes confusing. We're going to do our best to make sure you swing traders know when there is an objective entry, okay? And an objective entry would come with a orderly three-wave decline that hopefully sets up some type of falling wedge with positive divergence, and that will be an objective entry for the next leg up, should it transpire. That's all I have to say. I'm going to turn it over to Matt.
All right, thanks, Steve. And the next chart here is a daily chart of the XLF, the financials ETF. You can see here it's starting to break a trend line of a channel, and it's clearly above its moving averages. The volume was strong in the break. The financials are not leading this market. What is leading the market are the tech stocks, the NDX, NASDAQ, and semiconductors. So Quicksilver bought on a daily already. And but again, it is above its moving averages. So on a pullback, let's see if it finds support there. Here's a 60-minute chart of the XLF. And the 60-minute chart here looks more like a fourth wave consolidation. And so if we do get another move, it would be a fifth wave. And here's a zooming into a 15-minute chart. Here's a closer view. You can see there's a gap down there, and we're forming a triangle. And so watch the converging trend lines early this week. If we move up and break that downtrend line, well, then we're probably going up in the fifth wave. If we break down, then we're probably at least going to fill that gap, or maybe more. Moving on to the transports. The transports really have been, you know, really in a nice consolidation move since May, I guess along with the other general market indexes. And it could be in the process of forming a large triangle, ascending triangle. Or if you drew a horizontal line at the 3,000 area, could be a bullish rectangle pattern. So a breakout over that horizontal level would be bullish, and that pattern would measure about 400 points, measure up to around 3,800 if that breaks out. And again, that would give the reason for the market to move higher in wave C into that fall time frame that Steve Nelson discussed. Next, here's daily chart of the semiconductors. Again, tech stocks have been leading. You can see the semiconductors broke out of a symmetrical triangle pattern, and they have made new highs, so they are leading. In the short term, again, everything is overbought. Does it mean it can't continue to push up? But everything is overbought, so everything looks pretty bullish here. But we're going to need a pullback here anytime, and you can see RSI is quite extended. It's up here on 82. Next, here's the daily chart of the S&P 500 with the 5-3 fast stochastics. And about 6-7 days ago, this was oversold when the market was at its lows. And, of course, we've had a strong rally. So now it's overbought and crossing down. So that's definitely something to take note of. Next, our indicators are starting to trend, are starting to reverse and point to buy signals again. You can see the NYSI via the parabolic SAR gave a sell several weeks ago, and it is now back on a parabolic SAR buy. So obviously, last week's move was strong enough to cause those to reverse. Nothing surprising there. And the next, there's some other indicator charts, the BPNYA and the BP Comp. They are over there. 10-day exponential moving averages. The 10-day exponential moving average is another key moving average. Every once in a while it'll whipsaw, but it'll also trend too. And so again, it's bullish when we're over that, and we clearly are. Next is the VIX. The VIX continues to move down, obviously, and you could still argue that it's forming some kind of wedge, but you know, we'll just have to see, you know, if it rallies up into this wedge or if it busts down. Either way, volatility has been leaving the market. Now, let's move on to commodities. Here's a daily chart of the CRB index. And the CRB, as you can see, is forming what could be, let me start over again. The CRB has had a nice move off of the March lows. Again, commodities have been moving with the general stock market, the S&P 500. Formed a fifth wave low via a bullish falling wedge with positive divergence in March, and it's had a nice move up into the June time frame. That move is an ABC move to the upside. Now, the high in early June was either the end of that move up, or it was wave A, major wave A, and we are now in major wave B pullback. And if this is the correct count, then we should go up again in major wave C. A likely target would be at least the 38% retracement from the July 2008 highs, around 304. If the general market, the S&P, etc., is going higher into the early fall time frame, then this is the most likely case, that commodities are going to follow it as well and rally up to that area. This would also correspond with the U.S. dollar moving lower and completing the fifth wave move down. So this is the most likely wave count that I see, is that wave A major wave A was put in early June. It's had a major wave B pullback, and it is now probably going to move up again. But once the C is in, that should complete the countertrend bear market rally in commodities, and then it should go down again. Again, it should follow the general market. Everything has been moving together in this market, the S&P 500, commodities, gold, crude oil, etc. And everything is trading inverse to the U.S. dollar. And that brings me to the next charts. These are charts of the U.S. dollar. Here's a daily chart of the U.S. dollar. You can see it's in a downtrend channel. And our primary wave count would have the highs in March being a major wave A, in parentheses in red. And the pullback currently is major wave B. When this is over, we should rally once again to take out the March highs, and it will be major wave C. So in other words, we see another major rally in the dollar coming in this year, probably in the fall time frame, or really might not be too far from now. And if you break down major wave B, or primary wave B, you can see five waves. So it appears that the consolidation from June into July was wave four, and we're probably starting wave five down now. And so if the dollar pulls back here in wave five, that should correspond with more upside in the S&P and commodities. So that's what I see. But again, once wave five and the dollar is put in, I think there could be a major top in the general market and commodities, because again, they are all moving together. At the bottom of this chart, we have the S&P 500, and you can see how they have been moving perfectly inverse to one another. It's really amazing. And next is a monthly chart of the U.S. dollar. Again, everything technically tells me that the dollar is in a major A, B, C uptrend, with major wave A completed in March and is now in a major wave B pullback. The point is, we think the dollar is going to make a higher low on the long-term charts and then rally again. Everyone out there, the media, etc., thinks the dollar is going to sell off and go to new lows. And all the news and the media seems to point to this. You have all the countries out there, China, Russia, etc., calling for the end of the dollar. We need a new world currency, etc. And it just seems too easy for that to happen. And the masses are calling for it as well. And generally, that when the masses look for it to happen, it doesn't happen. So this is, contrarian-wise, this fits as well. So this is what we see for the dollar. We think another major rally is coming for the dollar later this year, and that will also correspond with a major sell-off in the next stage of the bear market for the S&P, the general stock market, and commodities. Now we're going to take a look at a couple weekly charts of the dollar. Here's the weekly chart, and this is our primary count. Again, the dollar broke out from a bullish falling wedge in 2008, had a nice rally up. We consider that major wave, primary wave A, and is now in primary wave B pullback, which we think there is more pullback to go to complete the fifth wave down. Once that's in, we see that it's primary wave B. Then we think it's going to have a move up in primary wave C, possibly to the 50% retracement or so. And again, I think that'll correspond with a major sell-off in the next stage of the bear market for the general market and commodities. That's the most likely case I see. The alternate case, and I'll throw it out here, and again, this is not our primary count, but this would be the alternate count. This would be the bearish count for the dollar. This would be that if the masses are correct, that the dollar is going to sell off to new lows. That the ABC correction has been put in for the dollar is an ABC move up. It ended in March, and that the dollar will probably sell off in the short term in wave five to make new lows, but it will then put in a decent bounce in a wave two. But once wave two is over, then it will sell off strongly again to new lows. Now, if this count is correct, then the general market is probably in a new bull market. However, I don't see that, and this is our alternative count, but I thought I would have it out here anyway. I think the first count above is our primary count. Next, a few charts are just, we're going to look at commodities and the general stock market, how they are trending together. The next chart is a daily chart of the S&P 500 with the CRB Commodities Index Overlay. This goes back to September of 2009, but really you could take this back a couple years. Commodities and the general market are trending together. Everything is moving together. And the scary thing is you see this in deflationary times, and they continue to move together. Now, in the very short term, the next couple charts, these are 10-minute charts that are monthly. They go back about a month of the S&P 500 and DBC, which is the commodities ETF. And again, you can see even on shorter term time frames that they have been trending together. However, last week, the only thing I want to note here is that commodities underperformed last week relative to the S&P 500. You can see the S&P 500 rallied much stronger than the DBC last week. The same with crude oil, which is the next chart. You can see crude oil lagged. The S&P rallied much stronger than crude oil last week, percentage-wise, on this chart. And the same with gold. You can see this gold overlay with the S&P 500 this one-month chart. Gold and the S&P were trending together, but last week they diverged a little bit. The S&P moved up much stronger than gold, which lagged. Now, it could mean one or two things. Commodities could play some catch-up, or that could be showing us that the market is overbought and needs to pull in a little bit with commodities. So just pointing that out, that in the short term, they are diverging a little bit. Next is a daily chart of crude oil. And crude oil, again, lost the uptrend line on the daily chart, which also matched the 50-day moving average. That's the uptrend line in black. And the rally that we've had appears bear flaggish, and you can see it's come right back to the 50-day moving average and the 20-day moving average, just under the broken uptrend line. So that is resistance. And to me, it looks like it needs to pull in again. This is definitely lagging. And if it were to sell off here strongly, there is another support level. You could see a little sloping head and shoulders pattern there. Comes in around 60. So to me, the chart does not look bullish. It looks like this is a weak bounce, and it looks like it wants to pull in again. Next, the weekly chart of crude oil is, again, nothing has changed in my long-term count. Crude oil, just like the general market, I think, is following this pattern, which is opposite of the U.S. dollar. Crude oil put in a major wave A, primary wave A low, in the early part of the year, 2009, and is now in a primary wave B countertrend rally. When this is over, I think crude oil is going to sell all the way down to make new lows in a primary wave C. I know that seems impossible for crude oil to sell off all the way down below the March lows, but that's what I see in the charts, and that's how I'm going to call it. Next, the bullish percent energy index, BPNER. A couple weeks back, and last week especially, I noted that it was extremely low levels and that it was time to cover oil and energy shorts. And you could even go long a couple energy stocks and ETFs. And last week, the BPNER moved up nicely and is over the 9 EMA, and of course, so did the XLE and DIG, etc. So they've had a nice bounce, along with the general market. Now moving to gold. Here's a daily chart of gold. And ignore my comments on here first, but as you can see on the daily chart here, gold is forming into a symmetrical triangle pattern. And so respect the direction it breaks. It has a lot of room to rally up to the downtrend line of the triangle, currently up around 975. So it could rally up around there, and it's still in the pattern. If it breaks out of this pattern, that would be bullish, and especially if it breaks out of the above the February highs over 1,000, then it's really bullish. However, if it moves up in the pattern and then moves back down in the pattern and breaks the symmetrical triangle to the downside, then that would be bearish for gold. And if it's bearish, this would be the bearish count for gold. That gold put in a fifth wave high in March of 2008, and it's currently in an ABC correction with the lows in November and October as major primary wave A, the highs in February this year is primary wave B, and it's now in primary wave C, and you can see the shorter term wave count. But again, the main key levels on this chart are the trend lines of the triangle. Respect those. There's plenty of room to move around inside the triangle. If gold goes up this week $20, you know, I don't care. That doesn't mean that it's bullish. It has to break out of the triangle to be bullish. But if it breaks to the downside of the triangle, it is bearish. In the short term, gold, again, is following the general market, and I think it will have more upside. Here's a 240-minute chart of gold futures, YG. And it appears it's forming some kind of bull flag, and so I think it does have more upside ultimately. But again, it's in a triangle pattern, and it really matters how it breaks out of the triangle pattern, if it breaks out to the upside or to the downside. And if the U.S. dollar plays out the way I think it's going to, form a major bottom in the fifth wave low and then rally up in major wave C, then I think the bearish count will play out for gold. I think it will ultimately break to the downside. I don't see how gold is going to rally strongly if the dollar is going to rally. So that brings me to my next charts. Here's the weekly chart of gold. And this is still long-term bullish, but it has the major ABC correction here. And you can see gold put in the major wave B high, and it could have a nice pullback all the way to the uptrend line going back to 2001 down into the 600s. And that would be major wave C pullback. And then after that, it could rally up ultimately and extend its bull market. But that's my primary wave count for now, based on the weekly chart of the U.S. dollar. The next chart, I'll show it because it's still valid. It's another weekly chart. This is the bullish case. This shows gold in a very bullish inverse head and shoulder pattern. And you can see back in early May, I stated that this pattern might be forming, but it needed a couple more months for the right shoulder to chop out to make it more symmetrical in time length, remember symmetry, time symmetry, relative to the left shoulder. Well, that has happened. And it is now about the same length as the left shoulder. And so this pattern is definitely becoming more valid. But again, in order to verify, it has to break out over 1,000. Okay? So we'll leave this chart out there for now. Lastly, looking at gold stocks, last week I had this chart of GDX. I had an uptrend line here, and I stated to watch to see if there was GDX would find support at the sloping uptrend line. And obviously it did, and it rallied up. GDX bounced along with the general stock market last week. But it lagged. It didn't really rally that hard. You can see the volume was lackluster on the move up, and is now at the 50-day moving average. And you know, unless volume really starts coming in here, the move up wasn't too strong. The next chart's a 60-minute chart of GDX. You can see last week it gapped a couple times along with the market. And however, on the GDX 60-minute chart, there is some strong negative divergence developing here via the MACD. So that's one thing to be concerned of. Wouldn't doubt if we have a pullback here, especially with the general market, S&P, Dow, NASDAQ, etc., overbought in the short term and looking like they could pull back any time. I think when that occurs, gold stocks will pull back too. Lastly, here's the bullish percent gold miners index. And think of it like a simple mechanical system. Whenever this indicator crosses above or below the 8-day moving average, it gives you general buy and sell signals. It's not perfect. It doesn't get you in at tops or out of tops or in at bottoms, but it's pretty close. Maybe you catch 80% of the move most of the time. And you could see there was a sell signal in last June. And even with the move up last week, this indicator has still not given a buy signal. So there you go. That's it. And let's see what happens this week, folks. It appears by looking at the blog that really there was very few blog posts this week by members. So I'm glad to see that many of you got away and enjoyed some time away from the markets. So that's it. We'll see you in the blog this week. And Steve, do you have any comments?
Nope. And take care, and hopefully everybody's enjoying their summertime.
All right. I'll talk to you later and see you in the blog.